is The Different Football Show. VAR You Serious on FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.
Yes, people, it's Cecil G, presenter, former footballer, and your guide through the chaos of the beautiful game. This is VAR You Serious, the football show that takes everything we love about the sport and flips it completely on its head. Now, we're talking fantasy 11s, where we build, you know, teams that nobody hops for. There's rants of the week, delivering the pure, unfiltered truth from the fans, complete with tears, tantrums, and the odd tinfoil hat conspiracy. We all have a conspiracy theory. But it's not all madness. We're shining a light on the real stories that make football special. The Sunday League legends, the kit mans, the people that have been at the clubs for ages, the women in the club of their local team that have run the team from their kitchen table. It's heart, it's humour, and just the right amount of chaos. I've got a friend of mine in the studio today. He's a Man United fan. So you guys can start thinking about what judgment you're going to make of him so far just by hearing that. Man United fan in the building today. We've got Nick Kyrie in the place. Give a little clap up. Nick Kyrie in the place to be. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Listen, we've got a festivities going, do you know what I mean? Christmas coming up, feeling good. Going to hit up a few markets and whatnot. So yes, good time to be about.
You know good time I mean? To be about. You good said a lot of things. You said about Christmas markets, yes, and that. But you didn't say nothing about football. You just said life's good right now. You don't your clubs, everything. Just...
Brother, I don't know how. We don't know how to feel. It's beat Palace, draw to West Ham. Before that, it's lose to Everton. So on a week by week basis, I don't know how to feel, brother. And it's also like I've got a week between every game. So it's a stretch right now, bro. It's a stretch.
So it's like the match happens. Whatever happens on that result, you have to just live with it for the next couple of days, and then it's like see out the rest of the week until Man United decide your mood for the upcoming week.
Exactly that, and I got to stretch the content and the shows that I watch as well. I got to weigh it out because I got a whole week to go.
I know that feeling. Listen, make sure you check out Nick as well. He's like you said, he obviously does a lot of content. He's all over social media. Make sure you go follow him, especially if you're a Man United fan. Lock in. Let's get into some of. Listen, it's a football show, but with a difference. So we're going to have to talk a little bit about football, of course.
Yeah, of course.
The weekend talking points that I've kind of looked at
and
kind of want to speak about. Firstly, Mo Salah, he did return for Liverpool. He actually, that Brighton game where he said, this could be my last, my family are going to be here. Was he going to play? Was he not? He came on. He came on to applause as well.
Yep,
he got applauded after as well. Listen, he didn't score. He could have scored. But... just your thoughts on that situation. Do you think Liverpool have done well to manage it? Are they coming out of it the right way? Is there still more, do you think, that's going to unfold? Talk to me, Nick.
Salah's forced their hand by doing what he did, right? I'll be honest, I'm not a fan of what Salah did. When he went to the journalist after the game? Because that was... I go between thinking, was it a emotional response after not coming on again? Or was it a preempted, planned thing that I'm going to go to journalists? Because he went to the first journalist that you saw. It was a random Norwegian. So, personally, not a fan. Because I just think there's better ways to do it. Especially right after a game as well. It was Leeds, right? The 3-3, disappointing result. Especially when Szoboszlai has come out in the interview and said, whatever happens, we keep it indoors. And then Salah's gone and done that. So, not a fan of that from Salah. And it felt a little bit... for his own sort of selfish wants and needs. I didn't particularly like it. At the same time, in the same breath, what you can say is he's an absolute bona fide legend of the club.
Yep.
Possibly one of, if not the greatest player that's ever played for the club.
Yep.
So there's a certain level of not sort of a given right to play or a given right to have an understanding of what's going on, but a little something there. He's a big ego, big superstar. That's quite normal. I think Arne Slot has kind of handled it the best he can. The thing is with Slot right now, he doesn't have a lot of credit in the bank right now. I know he obviously won the Premier League in his first season. Unreal, fair play to him. But they spent 450 million odds in the summer and it's gone downhill since. So he was already in a difficult spot and Salah's made it worse. So I don't really know what happens. Like, if he goes in January, it's ugly. Let's have it right.
Yeah, it's a mess.
That's ugly. He's not only, like I said, one of their biggest legends, massive Premier League legend. So to go out January when it wasn't planned, you're not going to get a last game. And Liverpool are, you know, lingering in about eighth, ninth, wherever they are.
Does Slot go at Christmas then or January? Do you think, is that a possibility or does it feel like he's got hold of the situation? And because it felt like by some Liverpool fans I spoke with, it was either Slot or Salah. Do you think? Like
that. Yeah. The narrative.
That's what it was going down. So does it seem like now that he's it's more likely to say, you said there, if Salah goes, for me, that is very ugly if he does go. Especially now, it feels like they're slowly rebuilding back the relationship and he's going to be part of it. To see him go would be very ugly if he goes in Jan. But if Slot goes, I think that's still not a good look for Liverpool as well in Jan. I think they might have to both see it out. But I don't know if Liverpool fans listening, I don't know if they agree with that. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I don't feel like Liverpool are the kind of club to be, you know, quick to want a Saka manager.
Agreed.
Obviously, you got the Brendan Rodgers case, which was, you know, quite a while ago now. But I just don't feel like they're the kind of club that will be, you know, emotional in that kind of way. And also, let's have it right. You can look at Slot, but ultimately, you signed a Frimpong, who for me is a little bit too frail for the Premier League right now, yep, in the way that you're trying to play. Kerkez, who is very attacking minded. So, and
has been exposed a lot though.
Exactly, yeah. And that comes from the club. Yes, the manager has a say, but the club is the one who builds the squad. And mm-hmm. I don't think that their transfers have made a lot of sense. Ekitike and Isak in one summer doesn't make sense, however way you want to look at it. So, not to say Arne Slot's been dealt a bad hand. Of course not. He's got brilliant, fantastic, world-class players. But in terms of the squad morale, in terms of the balance of the squad there, it's been poorly executed from the club as well as him.
Yeah.
So they've got to take some blame there. And that's why I don't think that they'll sack him in January. And equally, I don't think Salah's going anywhere in January either.
Fair.
Like, because we said it's too ugly.
Yeah,
they won't let it happen.
Agreed. I think, yeah, I'm with you on there. Thank you for that. I appreciate that, Nick. That's a well, nice articulation of the situation, in my opinion. Yeah, balance. Especially from a Man United fan when they're your rivals. I'll quickly just, I'll do it briefly. Arsenal, I'm here. Yes, it was potentially going to be very dark for me as an Arsenal fan on the weekend. There was a video going around where, I'll be real, I lost my head. I'm a football fan, yeah? Yes, I'm an ex-professional footballer as well. I've played it, but I also live it now. And I went to walk off the stream and tried to actually get the stream that I was on turned off because I thought if they draw this game, my head was on the Mars. It was on Mars, I'll be honest. I didn't want to be on camera, everything. So I haven't acted like that in a long time. I feel like I'm quite balanced and quite chilled, but I had a lot of emotion because we've put so much into this season. This is the year we do it. 3 years in a row being second. This is the season. And you build up all that expectation, that hope. And I just thought, if we draw here, and it's not that linear. Even if we draw there, it doesn't mean we don't win or lose the league. But in my head, it was like, it's all over. You can't be champions and draw to a Wolves team that could potentially be the worst Premier League side ever. So, yep, wasn't looking good. We ended up getting a winner by the end. Even though Gabriel Jesus went to go and celebrate, it wasn't his goals, two own goals. In the end, Wolves scored all three goals in the match, which is crazy to say. But Arsenal ended up being victorious, 2-1. We move on to the next one. I am looking into this game. As a fan, I try not to do this too much because you get caught up in spirals and circles of overanalyzing and what's the point when there's a game every 3 days. But for this, I have to look into it a bit deeply because if we go and then drop points at Everton, which is a tough game at Hill Dickinson this weekend, I am going to go back to this Wolves game and said, Lewis, all the signs were there. Don't always do that, but I think it's very clear from that performance.
What was it? Was it not being able to break down? Because I didn't watch a full 90.
Right.
Was it not being able to break down the low block, just creatively not enough there? Or
Just Nick, if I'm honest, it was everything from the first minute. The first half was extremely poor from Arsenal. We weren't up, we weren't at the races. We weren't. Okay. We went really strong. Mikel Arteta went really strong. So a side that not many of us were expecting. A lot of people were happy with the 11 that started. And then, yeah, we couldn't break them down. Which is a frustration for Arsenal fans because we know what to expect. Wolves are obviously going to sit in a low block.
Yeah.
You have the quality. You've signed all these amazing players. We have the greatest squad in the league, in the world. A lot of Arsenal fans are saying. I partly agree with that. So with that quality, break a team down. That's bottom of the league. We couldn't do it. So there's frustrations there. But yeah, that needs to be looked at. It's all well and good. We'll move on swiftly because I don't want to get back into that emotional state. Erling Haaland, quickly.
Yes, sir.
Robot. Fake. Is it going to be stopped? Getting annoyed. What's going on? He scores. He doesn't even, I don't know what celebrate. Nowadays, he's just scoring and looking around like, yeah, mate.
Bro, I said this before the show. He was looking borderline turned on after that second goal. And like
what was his weird face?
He loves it. Yeah. He actually loves it. It's like, and that's why he is who he is. Yeah. Right? Like, mentally, he's just, he's something different. He's a freak.
Yeah.
In a good way, in the best way. Yeah. He might just single-handedly charge Man City to a title. If Arsenal do end up, I think, sabotaging themselves, because I think that's the way Arsenal don't win the league. I think it's there for them to take, because I still don't think City are a consistent enough side just yet. I think they do rely on Haaland's goals too much. And against Palace, I thought Palace were the better side. But if City do it, it will be because of Haaland. He is unreal. And he's going to break all records as well. That's one thing as well. I think he's going to stay at City long enough to the point where...
Do you really?
Yeah, see you later. Yeah, yeah. Because where is he going to go?
I mean? Kane could return back to the Prem. And
nah. Oh, well, even if he does, then Haaland will go on and beat Kane's. That's what I think.
Do you know what?
That's what I think.
Robots do that. They I do. Get it. Yeah. Robots do get it. And numbers. And yeah, they're undeniable. We have AI these days. We have ChatGPT, and it's just taken over. That is Haaland, literally in human form. So I partly do agree. It's frustrating. Yeah. And it's funny you say that because, yeah, he scores. And it's like he looks at the crowd and is like, yes. He's like, this is me. This is what, yes. You're witnessing greatness. It's like, wow.
Have you seen The Boys?
No. Oh yeah. No. The superhero. Like,
Homelander. I get that a little bit. Except he's not as villainous as the Homelander. He's a likable character. But that's sort of like, yes, I am the guy. Like, yeah. Exactly that.
To be fair, he has a villain streak. I've seen him throw a ball at Gabriel Magalhães' head when his shirt's up. But he's a bit of a, I'm not going to go into it too much because Haaland does annoy me. But it is what it is. We're going to move on to just quickly. We're doing the wrap up of the weekend. The next talking topic is Sunderland versus Newcastle. It was a Tyneside derby. Wasn't as. Do you know what? There was some viciousness in it, but it wasn't as entertaining as I wanted it to be. Obviously, your own goal, was the decider in the match. And the question I kind of want to give to you, Nick, then, is it the biggest rivalry in England, in your opinion? I mean, you're a Man United fan. You are the biggest club in the...
Oh. Right, yeah, say it. Go on, say it. I know you want to say it, and you know it's the truth. So go on and say it.
One of the biggest clubs in the world. I was gonna go to Full Hawk, but I'll let you say it. You're the biggest club in the world. You can take that title. But that there's a lot of big rivalries there that you've had. Arsenal, I think for me, the North London derby is the most entertaining derby in the country. That's different to saying the biggest. I can look at Celtic Rangers for me. I think is huge. But yeah, for you, is it the biggest rivalry?
It depends how you want to define the biggest rivalry.
Yeah.
Because straight up fan bases, Man United, Liverpool, two biggest clubs in the world. If you want to base it on what's the biggest one, it's that. Mm-hmm. What you said about Arsenal, Tottenham, spot on. Yeah. I do think it's the most, the games are the best games. Yeah, they're always chaos. It's the best game. What the Sunderland Newcastle rivalry has over most other Premier League rivalries is a sort of underlying, I guess almost... nastiness to it. I want to say there's more to it in that sense than there is enough. I feel like when you get a club as big as Man United, when you get a bigger club as big as Liverpool, it kind of filters away that sort of feeling of genuine hatred towards you. You're two big clubs, Premier League clubs. There's always sort of regulations around away fans stay in and can't go out. Sunderland and Newcastle, they're so close, and also they haven't been able to play each other for so long.
It's been like 10 years.
Exactly.
Yeah. In the league, anyway, Premier League.
So I do think, in that sense, the hatred towards each other, maybe you could argue.
Yeah, because Man United and Liverpool, they don't. Do they have? I don't think they have hatred. I mean, they're rivals, but when it comes to like players on the pitch and when you watch the game, I don't feel like there's like, I'm coming for your head here. Nah, like for instance, Newcastle Sunderland. They're doing the whole, we'll take a foot in front of the fans.
Yes, I've seen that.
There is a bit of, we're going to take the mick here a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And even with the fans as well, especially with the fans. That's what I meant as well, with the fans. But what you just mentioned there about not being able to sort of get the players, not being able to get at each other, that's a lost thing in football now, I think. True. At the top level.
It's a shame.
It is a shame. But if you're the gaffer, you're telling your players, keep a level head. And if you're a player, you don't want to pick up extra yellow cards. Yeah. With VAR, etc. around, you know what I mean? Like back in the day, you could get this little sneaky little stomp on the feet, little elbow when the ref's not looking. You get away with it. Can't get away with it now. So that's gone. One thing I will say about the Newcastle-Sunderland game, I was disappointed that it was a 2 p.m. kickoff. That had to be the headline 4:30 kickoff for me.
Do you know what? You make a great point. I mean? I just realised, because you want the truth? People, I wasn't watching it. I was watching Palace City because obviously title race. I'm an Arsenal fan, but then I did change over to it once City Foden scored his goal. I was like, yeah, I'm changing over. But you're right.
Yeah.
That should have been, because I even put it in my group chat. I said, what's everyone watching? And everyone's like, of course, Tyneside Derby. And I was like, you're right.
Yeah.
If that's the head, that's supposed to be the biggest.
Super Sunday.
Right. You know what I mean? Put it on the main time. Yeah, well mentioned.
Because the main one was Brentford Leeds, which with all due respect to both teams isn't, you know, it's not the headline game of the weekend, is it? So, and the 4:30 one should be the biggest one. VAR, are you serious on
FUBAR Radio? Okay, Nick, obviously we're in this space. It's a thriving space. I'm very honoured and privileged to be part of it. We're part of it. We speak about the clubs we love. And that is our work. It's incredible. But my story is quite well documented across the net. And you are the special guest. I need to know more about you and how you got into the industry, how you got into, you know, making this your full time, speaking about the club you love. So when did you realise you wanted to first get into, well, one, football and Man United, and also this space?
Yeah, probably about, I would say, second/third year of uni. So when I went to uni, it was a thing of like, don't know what I want to do. So I just went with something really broad. I went multimedia, because I was like, fair. And to be fair, can't tell you that it was a great degree. Can't tell you how much I learned, but it gave me the certificate to start what I needed to go start.
Cool.
So fine. Third year, I was like, you know what? Don't know what I want to do, but as long as it's in football, I'll be kind of happy. Try to go into journalism. I actually had an internship at Goal.
Okay.
Doing a bit of journalism for 6 months. That's I was there big. Doing journalism. It was good. It was fun. But I think within a few months, I was like, they've got something for it that I don't. Like, they can write up a piece in 20 minutes and it's good to go. Whereas that same piece might take me like 45 minutes to write, and there might be some mistakes or things you can improve.
Cool.
I didn't take to it naturally. Then I wanted to go into more video side of things. Applied for a job, which was for like a football coaching training company.
Okay.
And it was like making videos about how players can improve, like how they can learn, improve their tactical knowledge of the game, etc. So started making video content for them. And then I happened to go to Old Trafford for a game. And just off my own back, I was like, you know what? Let's do a few Vox Pops. Let me just get a few interviews and I'll post it on my own personal page.
Just quickly there, Vox Pops as well, for listeners that may not know, is just in the street, you're with the people. And it's for me, it's like being thrown into the deep end. You've got to speak to the public, convince them to be on camera, get a good reaction out of them. For me as well, coming through, I didn't go to university. I didn't do the journalism degrees, but it's very much my training wheels being in the street and speaking football content. So it's good you mentioned that. But I'm glad you've done that, because I feel like people that don't, sometimes you might end up with a job where you're interviewing people, and I think that's the best training for that, being in the public. But if you haven't got that, you can kind of see it, in my opinion. But carry on.
There's a learning curve to it, isn't there?
100%.
Because there's one thing interviewing someone who knows they're about to be interviewed, they're prepared for it. There's another trying to pick people out of a crowd and convincing them. And that was the most difficult part, in terms of like the rejections of people saying no.
Yeah.
You've just got to go again. It's fine. It is what it is. So and then I started making content for a company called FootMob. And that really took off. I mean, the first few ones were awful, like awful. I had, you know, the little Amazon mics walking around with like a little what do you think, mate? Do you know what I mean? Like one of them was really...
I've still got them, by the way, in my bag. I still use them, but they aren't good. Sound quality is not good. So
on one of them, I went all the way to Manchester one time, got back half of the clips I got, the mic wasn't working. So then I was like, all right, it's time to.
This is why we like, I'm asked this question. It's a lesson to everyone that's listening. If you want to get into the industry, make sure, invest, get the right equipment, and check your videos, because these are key things. I've done similar at the beginning, and when you're working for brands and stuff, it's massive. So carry on.
It just got better and better, and I started making more content for them, and through that came some opportunities. Like I went to the Euros, Sidemen games, we said before, Beta Squad games, and that was my first, and I'd say that was my fourth biggest sort of introduction into the video content space in terms of being on camera, meeting people, it's gone really well. Started doing some stuff with DR Sports, now doing some stuff with United People's TV. So it's been really good. It's just been kind of one opportunity after another, and I've been able to go full freelance, which is really nice. Amazing. Really fun. Just working at it, trying to improve every day, meet more people as well. Yeah. Very important. Grow the contacts.
Being an Iranian man, talk to me about how you fell in love, firstly with Man United, and then also like what it's like, being in the space, being from Iran, and also like, They've been really good. World Cup, previous World Cup as well. And is there hopes for things going forward as well for your nation?
Yeah. Background there. Obviously, both parents from Iran. Yeah. Born there, actually, capital city. Mm. Iran is a football mad country.
Yeah.
Fucking love football.
Like, amen.
And they're mad amen. Football. So from about 4 years old, 3 years old, I was on the streets playing football. My mum loves football. Dad loves football. Dad is where the Man United comes in.
Right.
He loved Eric Cantona. He loved David Beckham. And so naturally, because of him, I went in, and it was a good time to be a United fan, because when I was about 6 years old is when Ronaldo, Rooney came onto the scene.
Right.
So it just banged. Do you know what I mean? Like, right from the off. In terms of, being Iranian, I guess it's a weird one, right? Because, like, I'm still, pretty much brought up in London. And whenever like people ask me where I'm from, I say London, especially because I feel like London's got its own little
100%.
Cultural understanding and such. So, it's not really anything that's I've thought about, I'm very proud to be Iranian. Mm. Like, love my culture, love my people, love the food, etc. So I'll always represent where I'm from. And in terms of the World Cups, we've done well. We have done well qualified. I mean, in FIFA, I think we're ranked 20th.
Hey, so we're
a good side.
That's a lot higher than my Jamaica, I can't lie. So it hurts me a little bit, but big up.
That's a sad story, though.
Yeah, it's a real sad story.
You could still make it, though. You could still make it.
Yeah, we've got two more games, but I'll be honest. I'm not putting my hopes up. I did that in that last fixture, and we got beat by Curaçao. And that was
a big one.
Not good. But yeah, big up, man. It's nice to just get that side of it and you know, your upbringing and your culture and how you got into this space. And again, there's some gems in there for people that are listening that want to get into content creating. All the niceties done. It's time to rant. It's time to get some things off your chest.
All right.
Time to get some things off your chest. I half did my rant when I said about, you know, the Wolves game, but it's all about you now, Nick. I'm gonna give you the floor and it's your time to rant. We know that football is incredibly annoying and there are many things wrong with the beautiful game. This is your time to rant about exactly what you want. I'll give you 90 seconds. Just go in.
All right.
On what you believe is an issue, what you're annoyed at. Let's go.
Football has become far too systematic, and I absolutely despise it. The individuality in football is lessening day by day, and it's a horrible sight to see. I always say, for footballing reasons, I wish I was about 5 years older, because I missed the generation of properly watching R9, Ronaldinho. Like, when I saw them, I was too young, didn't really remember. They were getting old as well. Zidane, Beckham, Figo, like these kind of like players who were just could produce a piece of magic out of nowhere. They were brilliant to watch. That's gone out of the game, and Pep Guardiola is a massive part of that. And I understand it. I understand he's squeezing the most out of his players, and I understand why other teams are followed. Because, for example, let's say a Brighton couldn't do what a Brighton is doing now 20 years ago, because they would need the individual brilliance to do it, and because they wouldn't have the money to bring in those players to do it. So I understand why they go to a system, because when you go to a system, you can get more out of average players, for example. So I understand it, but I absolutely hate it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're not getting wingers as such like Neymar anymore. Even like the closest thing right now is a Vinicius, and even him, he won't get the space, he won't get the time to do what he is.
Who? Yamal? Lamine?
Yamal, you see it a bit, you see it in flashes, but again, I'm like, it's not as and they're not really allowed to do it as much because the gaffer doesn't want them to do it as much. So that side of the game at the moment, and the way that it's moving, it's all about keep possession, keep the ball moving, recycle it, go again, try to find an overload so you can help. And I get it, I get why it works, but I don't like it. It's ugly.
So it's a strong rant. It's a strong rant. And if I'm honest, I think many of us will agree. I mean, I do massively. I don't even need to rant about my rant today, because obviously I've done it earlier. But also, that is something I'm strongly against. I'm getting older. So we do kind of revert back to type and say, you know, that back in the day, football was better. And I don't want to sound like that person, but it's truth. There's a truth in it. The systematic football is a pain. Even me, who was coming through as a professional footballer, when we went to, especially in academies, we had to do like, in this quarter, be here to receive the ball. In this quadrant of the pitch, you have to be here. Make sure you're on the half term, and make sure when you get to this space, there's going to be a player there and there. Make sure that you'll have those options available to you. I don't want to see you turn, do extra touch, try beat your man. Like, what? Like, I'm a person that doesn't like to have restraints around me. I don't like to be put in a box. Let me go and be creative. So, and that's where it is nowadays. It's very much field tilt and things I actually despise. The XGs, and you need to be here and when the ball, you receive it on the back foot and you have to play it into this space or this half space. Forget all that. Where are the Mavericks? Where are the players that you can just watch and be in awe of and just be like, how is this person even able to do this? We don't see that anymore. So that rant from you, Nick, you know, it's going to get a round of applause for me, because I'm all for it. Yeah. I'm all for it. Okay, it's time for ref of the day. Ref of the day. Yeah, it's where you get the time to basically level the playing field, Nick.
Yes,
that's what this section is. And of course, listen, we all don't all hate refs, but we all have our opinions on referees, VAR and all this and all the officiating of today's game. But today we're going to be the ref. This is the rules and the stipulations around it. Real Madrid, this is the scenario. I'm always going to go to Real Madrid because they are deemed as, you know, the greatest team. They've got all those amazing players. I'm going to always go start with Real Madrid, but I'm always going to change the team they face. But Real Madrid, their full team, everyone's fit, are playing in a £1 billion game of football. Right?
Ooh.
One bit, there's prize money.
Oh, I was going to say,
there's stakes. Yeah, there's stakes.
Okay.
Yeah, not rare, not medium, not well done. There's stakes, big money stakes in this one, right? They have to win this match. So there's no half arsing it, shall we say. They're going to give it their full whack. They're going to be playing against, I'm going to go Mansfield Town under 16s.
Oh, yeah. Under 16s.
Yep.
Oh, we've got a senior Real Madrid versus under 16s.
Under 16s.
Hoy,
because
okay.
The youth team are currently playing today, Arsenal youth team in the FA Youth Cup. Okay, it's their first round. I'm going to Mansfield Town. They're not going to give them the youth team because they're going to be busy today. We're going to give them the under 16s, right? You have to do the rules. Okay. Three rules you have to make to level the playing field. And I say level, I actually mean, I want you to sway the odds in Mansfield Town's favour. Okay, so we'll decide if it either levels it or Mansfield Town, which we all want. We want to see the joys of football. We want to see the underdog win. Okay, so three rules. I'll be the decider right now. Before we go into it, what will the score be if Mansfield Town under 16s played against Real Madrid in a £1 billion game without any rules?
Something silly, wouldn't it? Like it'd be like 7-0 or something.
Seven?
What, under 16s?
Bro, it would be.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. What, we're talking tens.
We're talking, listen, I know football is only 90 minutes, but Mansfield Town under 16th, and there's goal bonuses for the Real Madrid players if they score as well. Plus £1 billion prize money.
Yeah.
They're going to want to score.
Okay.
So what are we saying? Would it be before the rules?
All right. I don't know if I've done enough then. You know what? Because I was thinking senior, right? But I'll go with it anyway. Let's see. Maybe I've been too soft, but let's see. Right?
Okay. So realistically, the score's going to be around 20-18 nil without rules.
Right.
With these rules, you said he hasn't gone seriously strong, so we'll be the judge and the jury. So let's go. What's your first rule you put in place?
And I've got to set the scenario afterwards, right?
Okay.
The Mansfield Town gaffer can take the throw in if it comes off on his side. Now let me set the scene. Right?
Go on.
Real Madrid, right? Camped in Mansfield side, right?
Bro, there's Eder Militao in
Trouble. All right. Loose touch, Tchouaméni, right? Winger's gone. Play it over the top, right? Winger's running, right? Striker's running on. Rudiger, last stitch challenge, right? It goes out. Oh, counterattack's over. But Gaffer's seen it. Sprinted down the pitch. Picked up the ball. Striker, north side. Into the striker. 1v1. He's put it away. Gaffer's got the assist. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, he's painting a picture for us.
Do you know what I mean?
He's painting a picture for us.
Could you imagine the commentators if the Gaffer gets the assist?
Yeah, I mean, it depends how many throws he's going to get. Because I don't know how many throws...
Yeah, see,
happen in a game, and if it's going to be on his side as well, it's got to be.
It's very niche.
Very peculiar niche rule to add in, but we'll go with it. You said no offside, so I'm hoping that at some point there's going to be another rule.
From a throw-in, of course. Yeah,
but
yeah,
again, yeah. That's taken away from me maybe one goal,
or giving them one goal.
So 18-1.
Okay. Right. Not good enough. All right, cool.
Be honest.
All right, second one.
It's not a strong start.
All right, second one then, yeah. And this goes back to a childhood game, right? Did you ever play 60 seconds
of
in the cage?
Of course, bro.
Right.
I played every game. Heads and volleys, 60 seconds, Wembley doubles, Wembley singles.
Yeah. We had a game called Bonehead, didn't it? Bonehead. I don't know why it was called Bonehead.
I haven't heard of that one.
See, it was one of them where the olders started playing it.
Yeah.
And then... we knew of the game because of the olders, but we never knew the origin of the name.
Well, tell us
right,
the game.
All right, so imagine like 60 seconds, right?
Yeah, cool.
You can only score from outside the box. Yep. So Real Madrid can only score from outside the box, right?
I don't mind this.
The only time you can score is a header in the box because it's a header.
Headers and volleys, yeah.
Cool. And you can't score off the ball on the floor. It's got to be a volley or a half volley. Those were the rules of Bonehead, right?
Outside
the box as well. We're leveling the field.
Yeah, okay.
Now we're leveling the field.
And you used to play that back in the day?
Yeah, it was fun. Because cage football, innit? So the box isn't, you're not talking about 11 aside boxes, obviously.
You'd be scoring some nice volleys and if it's got to be off the floor outside the box, they've got to be scoring some screamers.
Memories were made playing that game. And it was one of those where if you shoot, so someone was in goal. If you shoot and you miss the target and you hit either one of the two gates, instantly it swaps goalkeeper. You've now got to go in.
Okay.
Memories were made
like
playing
Bonehead.
Okay, yeah. Big one. So that levels the playing field a little bit more.
Anyone that's listening, if you have ever played Bonehead as well, please let us know or find a way that's interesting. Maybe it's something that's just, native to your area. I've never heard of it, but maybe there'll be people listening like, no, I remember Bonehead, but okay.
It is very much like 60 seconds. So nice. If you played 60 seconds, very similar.
Yeah, big up 60 seconds. That's a classic as well. Okay, so that... I'm gonna cut down a few of their goals. But don't get it twisted. Mbappe and them, man, they can score volleys outside the box.
Thinking the Argentina Jude, final.
Bro,
yeah, you know
exactly.
I mean?
So I'm going to say 12-1.
Right.
I don't know if I've done enough. These poor Mansfield Town under 16 players. All right, go on, 12-1.
Right. The last one, right, go is on. Because of a reference to something that really annoys me in football. And I don't know if it's as such in pro-level football, but yeah. When I did play Sunday League football, when I played football at uni, it was something that really annoyed me, right? You know when you're defending a corner, right?
Yeah.
Cross is coming in. And there's always one bloke, and normally it's like the beer belly bloke, right? Normally it's him, centre back, beer belly, yeah? Away!
Yeah.
Yes, bro. We're all thinking the same thing. You know what? Before you said that, I was going to touch it down and do a roulette. We're all thinking.
Away! Clear. Squeeze!
Yeah, squeeze. Them ones.
Step up, yeah.
Them
right.
ones.
Yeah.
So they can volunteer one player, normally the beer belly guy, but I don't know if Mansfield under 16s have a beer belly guy, but either way, it'll be someone,
be
right? If he, as long as he shouts away on every cross and every corner, Real Madrid can't score on a first touch. Okay. So some, as the cross is coming, someone's got to go away! And you can't score on
they
a first
can't score.
Touch. There
okay.
we go. So that makes the heading chances really difficult.
Impossible.
So that more or less.
Because you're not going to have to chest up in the air, then header it. That should yeah, that can be yeah, done, yeah, but but that's tough. Or so, they can flick it up. Yeah, but that's tough. Okay.
So that takes off some. And well, Real Madrid would stop putting crosses into the box, I guess.
Yeah.
And they just put it outside the box.
Box and stop.
Either way, it helps.
It helps.
It helps.
Nick, for the ref of the day, the final score of this £1 billion game is going to end 6-1.
Jesus.
To Real Madrid. So, unfortunately, we haven't leveled the playing fields.
All right. Okay.
And Mansfield Town under 16s are going to be travelling home on their little minibus, upset.
What, little 15-year-old?
Yes. But we gave him a goal.
They didn't have a chance, though. We gave him a goal because the gaffer got the assist.
Exactly.
Do you know what
exactly.
I mean? So,
exactly.
So, there's a bonus there.
Exactly that.
We can share it between them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, very, very interesting.
The under-16s threw me.
I love Ref of the Day. VAR, are you serious on FUBAR Radio? Right, mid-season awards we are. I don't even know what match week we are, actually. Cecil G, this is poor of you. As a host, we are going to... I know what it is.
Match week is in Premier League match week?
Yeah, Premier League match week. We are match week seven, going into 17, but it's match week 16. We're going into match week 17. We're going to run through some awards that will be given out. And Nick, you're going to help me decipher who... gets these awards. We're going to go for it together. I'm not going to take all the credit because you're the guest, and also I might see some of these players. So
stay on the safe side.
But we're going to start with mid-season awards, and people listening obviously get involved as well. We might be having an absolute howler, or we might be bang on the money. But let's get into it. Player of the year so far. Who does that go to? Mid-season award, player of the year so far.
Oh, that's a tough one.
It is a tough one because obviously there's a robot that's running away with the top scorer. However, do we want to go there? Probably not. Who's been someone that's been...
Ooh.
Oh, actually, I do have a candidate.
Oh, that is tough, you know.
I do have a candidate.
All right, look, my boring answer would be Haaland, but let's not go there.
No, we're not going to go there.
Because that's too obvious. It's too obvious.
I have a man that featured in a Tyneside derby who's just...
I know who you're going to say, and I think Granit Xhaka.
Correct.
He has been unreal. He's been unreal.
Very good.
He's... The experience that he's brought for one, but for me, I didn't think he had the level of quality still in his game that he brought back to the Premier League.
Yeah.
I thought that when he came back, because of the drop-off from Bundesliga to Premier League in terms of the intensity, the speed at which the game is played, I thought he wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah.
So I think you're bang on because he's leveled the playing field for Sunderland in that sense.
Damn, I was about to say, see, we're a fair show. I haven't done Arsenal. You all thought I'd go to Arsenal, but to be fair, obviously you did play for Arsenal. But I actually removed that from my thought process in giving this award. I think Granit Xhaka deserves it. He's been absolutely phenomenal. He's been obviously he's the captain, which is I don't know if it's rare. To me, it's rare. A new signing becoming a captain so quickly and then being adored so quickly by the fans. Mm-hmm. Even fans saying they're the best player that they've seen at Sunderland. Granit Xhaka has been phenomenal. They're unbeaten at home as well. And he's a mentality monster. And you see that this weekend, Tyneside Derby, cut head. Like, he's got a gash on his forehead. He's won the game. Like, yeah, man. Yeah, I think Granit Xhaka. And not just that game. He's just been phenomenal for Sunderland this season so far.
100%. And one shout-out I'll give, not to the player of the year, but someone who could be, and a shout-out that you can't give because you're an Arsenal fan, before he got injured, Gabriel was on an unreal run. Not just defensively, but the goal threat that he brings was It's quite freakish, I'll be honest.
I'll give
players their flowers when they deserve it. I'll give them a shout out. Yeah.
Okay. Who will win the league? Here we go. Mid-season award. Now, this is tough. Now, I spoke about not being biased, but I'm gonna do a quickly run through this. I'm gonna say Arsenal. Obviously, the Sharks. City. Producer's a City fan. Yes, I'm aware. I'm looking over my shoulder, but yeah, I'm gonna go with Arsenal. You might have a different take.
A month ago, I said Arsenal, and yeah. I said Arsenal quite clear. I am now starting to lean towards City. Fair. I am, and it's not just Erling Haaland; it's Phil Foden.
Yeah,
Foden is one of the. He's a weird player. He's a proper weird player. Purple patch player, like correct. Definition of a purple patch player. But when he pops off, we saw PFA Player of the Year. He has that kind of ability and quality in him. And the way he's popped off recently, it just makes me think. And also, some of the slip-ups from Arsenal, some of the injuries, some of the lack of being able to create openings like we saw against Wolves. Gyökeres, I don't think, looked great. Gabriel Jesus might look back. We don't know what we're going to get from him. Havertz the same. Is there enough goals from a striker's point of view from Arsenal? I'm not sure. So for that reason, I'm going to just tilt it ever so slightly towards City at this moment in time.
Of course. Let me do... Quickly get your top four then, right now, at the mid-season awards. Who would it be?
As in, who I think will finish top four, yeah. Right? So I'm going to go City, Arsenal, Chelsea, but not because I think they're that good, but because I think everyone else below them are going to just fall short.
Yeah.
And I'll be biased and put United in there, why not?
Fair.
Because you know what? The expected numbers for us, actually, and I know, you know, people call me up, call me whatever they want because I'm talking about expected numbers. I know it is what it is, but I do think there's a level there that we're starting to see now, a little bit of consistency. And actually, I think when we don't come up against a lower block, we're a bit better,
yep.
Which is why Everton and West Ham was such a struggle for us. But I just think one game a week, compared to Liverpool, Tottenham, Champions League, etc.
Interesting.
We might just sneak it. Okay. I really do.
Fair. I'm going to go Arsenal, City, Chelsea, Villa. Okay. Who's going to get relegated?
I'm going to go Wolves.
Yep.
They're basically already gone. Burnley.
Yep.
And despite their recent run of form, I am still going to go Leeds because I think Nuno Espirito Santo will get enough out of West Ham.
And mine are exactly the same. Nice. Biggest flop. Oh, this is tough. Oh, it's not tough, actually. All
right.
That is loads. From one certain club.
I'm going to go Isak,
yeah,
over Wurz. Yeah. I could have given it to Wurz, but Isak, because he's already played in the Premier League, he should have, you know, hit the ground running a bit more than he has. And meanwhile, Ekotike is flying, doing really well. So
I was going to go Wurz.
Can do.
But yeah, but your argument for Isak is I just love Isak, but then that's biased. So Isak's probably the answer, but I'm going to go Wurz just to be different. But it's both from the same club,
yep.
Which is a bit of a problem. Most improved player award. Oh, I haven't thought about this one.
You know what?
Or biggest surprise, same sort of thing. Most improved or biggest
maybe
surprise.
It's not most improved because he was also playing really well off the back of the last season. But I'll go Elliot Anderson. He's been really, really good. And fair. Forest have had three managers this season. Throughout all three managers, he's been really good, really consistent. And he's just showing a level of consistency now that I think, for example, we saw from Declan Rice some years ago. I'll go Elliot Anderson.
Wow, fair. I was going to go Grealish, but...
Okay. Bounce back.
Yeah, I kind of thought he was done. I thought Everton wouldn't have been the right move for him, but he actually, he's become a bit of the main man there. But I like to... Ndiaye as well.
Yeah.
It's not in most proofs because he's been so good, but for me, I just want to just give him a shout as well because he's kept the level. I thought last season he ended it very well, but he's actually kept that level really high. So big up and die as well.
Boreham Wood, Rising Ballers team.
Come on, G.
To now get into where he is. It's insane. It's insane.
Next manager to be sacked. This is a good one. Award. This is a good one. I will quickly say, I have friends that are Spurs fans and they are pretty much fed up with Thomas Frank. They are... I watched a rant on the way here to the studio before I did the show and... They're leaning towards Frank just going there. They're kind of wanting him gone. Obviously, you can do easy pickings and do the Wolves manager. I think
he's only just been appointed.
Rob Edwards has just changed. Yeah. But like, and to be fair, he actually got a tune out of them against us. But if it continues with bad form, they might look to sack another manager. But for me, yeah, it's just Thomas Frank, and that's not even my bias. That's me hearing my own Spurs mates say it.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I was I went to a Spurs game about 3 weeks ago, and the environment and just like the fans, it just felt so, it felt so hostile, and it just felt like in any given moment where something went wrong, Spurs fans were ready to sort of implode. So I think I agree with you. Just to give an alternative option as well. Well, yeah, maybe Scott Parker at Burnley, just because Burnley seem like they're going down. So it's just one of those where, do you just sack him, bring back another manager and see if you can get any kind of bounce back?
Yeah, fair.
Maybe.
Fair, maybe. Fair. Or Arne Slot, that could be the curveball, but I won't say it. Could that's be. Just for you guys to get, Liverpool fans to get angry at or decide. Right, that is it for the mid-season awards. Player of the year is done. Who will win the league is done. Top four, who will get relegated? Biggest flop, most improved. Next manager to be sacked. The awards have been given out. Congratulations to all the winners. And yeah, hopefully next season there'll be some new winners and they'll be happy with their achievements.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right, the final and final section of today's show. My favourite, the one and only Fantasy 11.
Mm.
And this one, we're doing Chocolate 11. What is your fantasy chocolate 11? This ain't your normal football show, the 11 that no one asked for. We are going with chocolate this week. We've done mythical creatures. We've done Disney characters or cartoon characters. But today we're doing chocolate. Let's get into this 4-3-3.
Yep.
Nick, it's you versus me.
All right.
We're going to smash them out. We're going to go goalkeeper for goalkeeper to start with. Who have you gone with?
Maltesers, light and floaty.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
It's a good start.
All right.
I've gone Caramac, sticky. Caramac. I don't even know if they've got caramel in there. I hope it does. It might just be caramel flavour. I don't know. I don't eat chocolate. There's a little disclaimer there. I'm not a big chocolate fan. But that does not affect my chocolate knowledge. Caramac. Sticky. Catchy. Stick.
I like it.
Let the ball stick. I'm thinking ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, 3D,
I like it.
3D thinking.
All right. Cool.
Caramac is not a chocolate, I've been told by my producer. That could be points deductive. But I'll go dairy milk caramel then. Yeah?
Yeah. Close enough.
There's close caramel enough. Inside the dairy milk. We're going dairy milk caramel. Okay. There's sticky stuff.
All right.
Next one, right back,
Skittles. It's not even a chocolate.
Brother.
Hold tight.
Hold tight. What's
there
going
is
on
a
here?
Reason to the madness. Imposter syndrome, because he was a winger that failed, now he's a right back. Come on, that's a pass.
That is majority of fullbacks, yeah.
That's a pass. There's a reason to it.
But
imposter syndrome.
We can't be having that. Yeah, we can't have it.
All right, fine. You know what?
Skittles is in a chocolate 11 is crazy.
All right, fine. I thought I had a good reason. All right, we'll go with Bounty. Bounty.
Cool.
Because some love him, some hate him, and I couldn't think of anything else.
Fair. That's good thinking on your feet. All right. Yeah, fair enough. I've gone Revels.
Okay.
Because if people know Revels, I don't even know if Revels are still about.
Yeah, they are.
Are they still about? Yeah,
I think they are. Yeah.
I might go look for some today. Don't eat chocolate, but I just want to go to try and find them. Obviously, you can get coffee. No one likes coffee, but there's different flavors. They got whole nut in. I think sometimes I think they got raisins. Yeah, Revels. They're versatile.
Okay.
Nowadays, you're right. Right backs are either failed wingers or midfielders that get dropped. That put into that position. But nowadays, they have to be versatile. Inverting, cutting, breaking in. Come on.
I like the thinking.
Left back.
My Revel comes later. I've got a Revel.
Oh, you got Revels. Yeah, I got Revel in there. Yeah. All right, cool. Left back. Go on.
Left back. I've gone for Galaxy chocolate. Because when I think of Galaxy, I think like drifting through space, and I want my left back to drift into midfield and invert. So he's drifting through space, he's drifting into midfield. I've got an inverted left back, do you know what I mean?
Producer,
like a little Juan Cancelo at Man City, do you know what I mean? Producer's happy with that one. You know
yeah,
I mean?
Okay. Galaxy, yeah, great. Okay, I like that. I've gone Chomp.
Ooh.
Throwback! Yeah, I don't even see these anymore.
The little ones.
Chomp, the little ones. Come on, red packaging. We start to... Yeah. Chomp up the wingers, you hear me? Bit of a physical chocolate there. Come on, I'm thinking on my feet. This is 3D thinking for this one. I've gone Chomp, you've gone Galaxy. I like that. Let's do centre-back pairings. Give me your two centre-backs.
All right, I've gone with a crunching strikers. And also, it's got a yellow inside because he's, you know, yellow card. He's deceptible, so he's a little yellow card. You know what I mean?
Thinking forward.
You know what I'm saying? And Yorkie, big, solid, no nonsense. Do you know what I mean? Like, just about it. Yorkie and Crunchy, my centre back pairing.
All right, people, if you could see me in the studio right now, I'm nodding my head because he's done well. And I'm honest, I'm kind of on the same page here. We've gone. Yorkie is one of my centre backs, so same reasons. Makes obviously, sense. The old connotation for Yorkie. Obviously, nowadays you can't get away with things like that, but it's a bit of a brute Yorkie chocolate.
I didn't know there was a. I mean,
Charles, afterwards, they used to advertise it as just a one gender chocolate.
Oh.
Yeah, interesting.
Wow, okay,
nowadays, they have to get rid of that. For nowadays, they can't be doing that. Next one, Curly Whirly.
Ooh, a centre-back. Oh, okay.
Yeah, obviously you might think tall striker, or you might think that would be the position I'd put him in, but Curly Whirly for me, centre back. I like tall centre backs, win the headers.
Okay.
A bit gangly.
Okay.
A bit like gangly.
Dean Howson. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, the modern day centre back.
Okay, okay.
Come on, Nick, spud me on that
one. He's good on the ball. He's good on the ball.
You're helping me. You're helping me beat you. Right, midfield. Let's do midfield three. Go on, give me your midfield three.
CDM, I've gone 12 because I want him to pivot on the ball. Do you know what I mean? Little Sergio Busquets, do you know what I mean? Find the forward pass on the ball.
It's good.
I've gone central midfielder, like sort of more functional one.
Yeah, eight box.
Dairy Milk. Do you know what I mean? Stack. Reliable. Oh, okay. You know what you're getting. Sort of like 7 out of 10 every week.
It's good. It's good.
No surprises.
This is good.
Creative central midfielder.
Where are you going?
The Ravels. You don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
It could be world class.
Right.
Or it could be, like you said, a little raisin thing, which some people don't like.
Yeah.
Don't know what you're going to get, but it could be amazing. Ravels.
All right, watch me. Midfield three. Here we go.
Go on.
DM, crunchy. Same reasons as a centre back. Don't have to talk too much about that. Number eight. This is a tough one for me. Box of box. Fruit and nut. Dairy Milk. I know everyone hates them. But do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? They last long because no one likes them. So I feel I need someone that lasts long, fitness-wise, fruit and nut, box to box.
All right.
He's going to stay there. It's got a bit of mix of variety. Can be a bit nutcase, but also can be quite fruity.
Okay.
Yeah. Number 10, Dairy Milk Creations.
Nick went
with Skittles, but if you know about Dairy Milk Creations, they got jelly in there. They got popping candy. Ooh. They're creative. They're called Creations.
You know what? I'll give you that one.
That one, innit?
That one's
number
good.
Number 10.
Good. Yeah. Number 10. Yeah.
Work
little
with
Bruno
me.
Fernandez.
Come on, people. All right,
cool. I like it.
Do you know what? I'll let the Bruno Fernandez one slide because he's a good player. So I'll let that one.
Best 10 in the Premier League, you mean? Best creative 10 in the Premier League.
We're going to move on.
Better than your mind.
We're not going to do it. Front three.
All right. Left wing, I've gone Whisper because he seems a bit big, a bit broad, but he's got a bubbly inside, a little bit of magic. I'm thinking it's Ismail Assar. Do you know what I mean? Big man, but he's got feet. He can play ball. I've gone with Whisper. Left wing. All right, cool.
Shy one, all
right. Right wing, I've gone with an Aero. Again, light and bubbly. Like the goalkeeper, but a bit different, and he's a bit minty, so he's got something to him.
Something to him.
Striker, we've gone double decker. Do you know what I mean? Because he's multifunctional. Do you know what I mean? So one layer is he can drop in, link the play, backboard kind of man.
Yeah.
And the other layer is just straight up cold finisher. Do you know what I mean? He's old school. He's a lump of a striker, but he makes it work. I'm thinking Mateta. Do you know what I mean?
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
I like the double decker one. I'm going to give you my front three. I'll be honest, I'm gassed with this 11.
Oh, here we go.
I'm sorry. If I don't get the dub, I'm going to be very, very annoyed with my producer and everyone else. Listen, because you guys got to agree as well. Here we go. Right wing. I went double decker because physical, can do physical, but also can do quick as well. Yeah. Double decker. But I'll be honest, that's my weakest of the three.
Okay.
Check this.
Okay.
Left wing.
Ooh.
Boost.
Oh,
come on. Don't play with me.
Yeah.
Boost.
Yeah.
It's in the name.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't need to describe the truck. It's in the name.
All right. Cool.
All right.
I'll give you that one.
Boost bar. Classic throwback. And up front, you may remember this. I forgot about this chocolate, but I went back in time. It's called the Dream.
The Dream?
It's called the Dream. It's like a white chocolate. It's called Dream. Yeah. Classic.
I'm doing research.
Go do your research. Check it, people. You people, the old listeners will understand about the Dream. You want a Dream striker? Go check it. Dream chocolate.
What is that?
You see it?
What is that?
Okay.
I've never seen that. I'm 26 years old. I've never seen
that. That's why.
I've never seen
You're
that.
You're a young G.
I've never seen that.
I'm close to that age, but I'm gonna act like I'm older. I'm an old man. Yeah, OG. Young G, YG and OG. Dream is a throwback. Right. I've just got in my ear from the producers that Nick's 11 is better. I'm not having it. They've got two producers in there.
Let's go.
They've both said you've won.
Come on.
But I'm sorry. I'm not having it. I'm rebelling. This is my show. VAR, you serious? I'm not having it. We've gone to VAR. This is my, I'm the host. My 11 is top tier. So for me, I take the win. It's been a pleasure. Love you always. And thank you all for listening. That is it for this week's episode of VAR, you serious? Here on FUBAR Radio. You're listening to Cecil G. Take care. We'll see you soon. Love.